FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
The old familiar sting.
Welcome to Second Amendment Radio. Thank you for listening to 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo and producer Chad Ellis in the studio. And coming to us live from on location this week is Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Aaron, do we have you? Have we connected through our secret band of cables and telephone lines and computer internet to find you wherever you are in this fine country?
Yeah, always. Always a lifeline.
That's right. So another busy week before we get into some of the issues. What is happening now that it is officially Glocktober?
You know, I tell you what, it was funny because of the week before Glocktober, we had customers call and go, "Hey, are you guys going to do Glocktober again this year?" We're like, "Of course we're going to do Glocktober."
Duh.
So if you follow us on Facebook, you know, you see the little
sunrise in the east
chalkboard. It says Glocktober. We got our Halloween theme kind of going on for that. So, yeah, Glocktober is in full swing along with some other specials. You can stop into the shop and find out a little bit more. But Glocktober is probably one of my favorite times of the year. You know, we sell a ton of Glocks. We sell the magazines. We sell holsters. We sell the trigger kits, night sights, all that stuff. And I'm a certified Glock armor, along with another gentleman on staff. So you can have a certified Glock armor upfit your whatever parts you'd like. You can even order your Glock replacement parts. So if you're not necessarily a fan of going to an aftermarket trigger that's 3.5 pounds or so, we can get you the Glock, which will do the same thing. That's what I basically did to my Glock. So it's all factory Glock parts, installed by factory Glock armor. If I have any issues, I can just go to Glock.
Yeah.
Say, "Hey, this is," and they're going to say, "Fix it."
Right.
So we've got a great relationship with our local rep. And of course we're a Blue Label dealer too. And so we have a great relationship with our law enforcement side on the Glock as well. So if you want our arm that is a Glock, we can get you in a Blue Label. We absolutely will. So, we got a tax stamp back. Fastest I've ever seen. I think I mentioned it, 10 weeks.
Yeah.
One week in the mail and 1 week back. So it was in their hands for a total of about 8 weeks. We were all shocked. The holdup we were told was the FBI being able to run the fingerprints. It seems that has dissolved itself and moving very efficiently now.
Very
so
good.
If you want a suppressor, get in and tell us what you want. We'll get it to you. And of course, we can always look and see if there's any. We generally keep our customers apprised on any specials that are going on in industry. You can connect with us through our Southern Armory Facebook page or southernarmory.com, and then you can go and sign up for our email blast, which we send out whenever there's legislation going on that you need to know about. You need to call people, there's specials going on at Southern Armory or manufacturers, rebates, etc. So it's a couple of good ways to connect with us. And of course, we have the Second Amendment on our Facebook as well, and we just started a Second Amendment Radio on Twitter, and you can just do @RadioSecond, and supposedly that goes to us. This is like brand new. Set it up here 3 or 4 days ago. So,
hey Aaron, I don't know if you can get to you're kind of cutting in and out. Most of that was okay, but if you can maybe get to somewhere that is a little bit better of a connection, While you do that, while I ask this question. So you mentioned the tax stamps a minute ago, and earlier in the year, and we talked about many times on this show, how that was taking up to 8, 10, maybe even 12 months to get those tax stamps back. And what that means is, if people are wondering, well, what does that have to do with guns? What does a tax stamp mean? You're talking about how long it takes to get approved, essentially, to get something like a suppressor or a larger sort of automatic weapon, something that is beyond your normal handgun. So kind of just explain explain that process a little bit. And I know we don't know for sure why, but just your theory on why suddenly it's not nearly as long of a wait, and people should probably take advantage of that because the wait times could go back up again pretty soon.
Right. So I'd imagine they've so what we're talking about with a tax stamp, we're talking about NFA items. Those are your suppressors, your short barrel rifles, your machine guns. And you have to submit fingerprints in for that as well. So what happens is the FBI then, you send the fingerprints to the ATF. The ATF then sends those to the FBI. The FBI runs them through their database to see if there's anything that would make you a prohibited person. Past arrests, or maybe your fingerprint showed up at a crime scene. So with that being said, I'm assuming we were told that the holdup was staffing. So I'm assuming they fixed their staffing issue, and now they're able to kind of expedite these through. Right. Would be my quick theory.
So people should definitely come in if you've ever thought about getting a suppressor. That's definitely been a hot item that we've talked about a whole lot. And then that wait time sort of scared you off, or you just weren't sure. You were ready to come in and make that purchase. Probably now is the time to do so.
Right, and another thing too is people think that ATF can just show up at their house whenever they want and ask to see it, and that is not the case. That is. Never heard of that ever occurring.
Yeah.
So it's just, urban legends, right?
Right.
If you got this special license from the ATF, they can show up whenever. And I think what people were getting confused is, tax stamp saying you can possess this item, and then a federal firearms license. And, with the FFL, we do get a visit at the storefront during our business hours from the ATF, and they go through our paperwork. It takes 3 or 4 days, and then they leave, and that's about it. But, somebody who's owned machine guns and suppressors now for more than a decade, I've never had them show up at my house and say, hey, we want to see your machine gun or your suppressor. Never happened.
Right.
So,
what else is happening at the store before we get into some of the issues and some of the questions that have been sent in that I want to ask you?
So we have a bunch of classes coming up. We're getting ready to release our next class schedule. The simulator is always available for rent as well. We've restocked on a bunch of holsters and some cases of bulk ammo. So if you're kind of interested in some bulk ammo, we're going to save a good percentage, and it's time to get in and stock up. Hunting is on its way. Our hunting season, I should say, is literally right around the corner. So if you're going to go deer hunting, I would get those firearms in. We had a gentleman contact us on Tuesday and said, hey, I'm getting all this stuff together. I ordered all this stuff online. It's going to be here Thursday, and I'm going to drop it off Thursday night, and then I need it Saturday morning for foresight and you physically to go zero it in. And we had to decline the business because we batch a lot of stuff. And, we're not going to hold customers up that are in line first, if that makes sense. So he ended up calling us back after he called other people in the area, and everybody told him the same thing, 2-3 weeks. And so he goes, I guess I'm just going to have to wait. We were like, yep, this is why we were telling people to kind of get in early. So you still have that time before deer season now. If you get in, we're about a couple weeks out once you drop it off, to get it bore sighted to the range and then back to you. If you just want the bore sighting done, that's done pretty quick. Nowhere near that time frame of a couple of weeks, and then you can go to the range and sight it in yourself.
Hmm. Good stuff. Do your thing.
Oh. Yeah, so you can find Southern Armory. We're located 1 mile east of 270 and 44 at 9901 Watson Road and SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have a few minutes left with Aaron. Wanted to get into some of the issues of the day and maybe get some of your questions that you have submitted. I don't have all of the details in front of me because it is massive, but Joe Biden released what he calls his plan to end our gun violence epidemic. That is the piece of policy that is the name of the piece of policy that was released this week by the Biden campaign. Again, the title of that is the plan to end our gun violence epidemic. One of the interesting things in here that I thought would be of interest to you is his plan. He's pledging to repeal the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act, which was a 2005 law that was designed to shield gun makers from liability for harm solely caused by the criminal or unlawful misuse of firearm products or ammunition products by others when the product functioned as designed as intended. It's a solid basic principle. If a terrorist uses an SUV in a ramming attack or posts a bomb in a van, it's not the automaker's fault, but this would make it the gun maker's fault if somebody were to use their gun in a crime.
That's absolutely insane.
It's insane.
And I think you hit the nail right on the head. You know, if somebody gets drunk and hits me with their name, your automobile manufacturer, I'm not going to go sue the automobile manufacturer. I'm gonna sue the drunk driver, the person who physically did it. And we saw this in previous terrorist attacks where we sued countries or tied up money from countries because they financially supported and harbored terrorists. So there's nothing like that, right? Every
right.
manufacturer has protection of misuse, and if you misuse a crossbow or a regular bow or a hammer, we're not going to go sue those manufacturers. So it's just one of those deals where, you know, if the firearm, you know, you're shooting it and it goes off accidentally or comes apart and hurts you, you know, I don't want to say explodes, but you know, disassembles itself rapidly and hurts you or other people. Well, they're liable if the product was made faulty.
Right, right.
But just because somebody used it, that's just absolutely used it in an unlawful manner is absolutely insane. And now all of a sudden, what you're going to see is, I think their end goal is manufacturers go, it isn't worth the risk. Because now we're going to have people that used it in self defense, killed a criminal that was breaking in their home or threatening their life. The criminal family now will sue them, and then you have one of these terrorist attack where they use firearms, and now they get sued by a ton of people, and it just bankrupts them. So what they're trying to do is they're just trying to make it a financial burden where these manufacturers just will not want to do business at all. They're just not going to be interested. They're going to say there's too much. Even the liability insurance, no insurance company is going to insure them against that. So with all that being said, it's just going to make it cost prohibited to make firearms, or it'll, if not cost prohibitive, you're not going to be able to afford a firearm that used to cost you $250, now cost you $2,000.
Right,
it's just not going to happen.
Right, and you touched on, like I mentioned at the beginning, the automakers. If you buy a car and you run somebody over and you know, now you can sue the automaker for selling essentially that car to the criminal. You mentioned the hammer. I mean, knife. Like, you know, somebody can use a kitchen knife in a crime.
Right.
Now you're gonna be able to sue the manufacturer of the knife. I mean, it's all or nothing. You can't do it to gun makers if you're not gonna do it to everybody. And if you try to do it to everybody, nobody's gonna support it. A couple other gems. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but a couple other highlights from Joe Biden's plan are a choice for people that own assault rifles. You can either sell it back to the government or put yourself on a registry. Those are
right.
those are your two options.
They're trying to do it. There is precedent for this. You know, we had the machine gun and suppressor short-barrel rifles all get registered, and they gave you a tax stamp. So they could do that, absolutely. And now it's a controlled item with a title. And if you want to transfer ownership of it, you'd come to Southern Armory. We do the paperwork, take possession of the firearm, and hold it until the paperwork came back.
Right.
That's just going to bog down the system even more. And And if you want that rifle, you know, an AR or an AK, just use the AR. It seems to be their big focus. That is the what American Rifleman magazine called the modern sporting rifle.
Right. Okay?
And so you can put your 10-round magazine in it, and now it's legal pretty much universally in every state for hunting. You have multiple calibers. .223 is the most popular. You can also use the 5.56 NATO, which is the military cartridge. But the .223 is a very common hunting cartridge for varmint, coyote, etc. If you want to get into the 30 caliber stuff like .308 and get an AR-10, people use that all the time for deer hunting. My personal favorite caliber right now that I'm shooting is .300 Blackout, which is good for a variety of game. And again, you're going to use a 10-round magazine, so it's legal for conservation use. The way I look at it is, it's a semi-automatic, and if they go after the semi-automatics, and there's going to be other semi-automatics that they have to go after as well, because they would fall in that category. Mm-hmm. And what happens is they create this law, and then we have bureaucrats who are unelected, nameless, faceless people that interpret it. And we've seen this time and time again with like the arm brace and other items that have come out in our industry and in other places too. Amateur radio is another one. And these people just say, oh, well, I interpret it this way. And then what happens is you have to sue. Now, the individual is not going to sue unless you've got very, very deep pockets, because you're going up against, you know, the old city hall and you never really win. So that means the NRA, Gun Owners of America, Missouri Firearms Coalition, et cetera, would have to start filing suits, because they have deeper pockets, where gun owners like us, or concealed carry weapon permits holders like us, have band together and put our money and our faith into a particular organization.
Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory. Great stuff. Great information as always. Hopefully you are back here in the studio very soon. We'll let you go so you can go fight crime and fight for liberty and freedom wherever you are.
All right. Thanks, Tony. Chad, have a good day, guys.
Great stuff.
Have a good one.
All right, we got to take a break. We got plenty more Second Amendment Radio coming your way next. Chad, is it Tim Shelsvik that is joining us?
It is.
Very good. Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors. It's hunting season, and that time of year where everybody's getting ready to get out there and hunt again, and Tim is going to join us to talk about that stuff. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio, 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio on 97.1 FM Talk. Big thanks again to Aaron Tarlow for calling in this week and joining us on the phone. And as I mentioned in the last segment, joining us now on the phone is our friend Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors, the Thinking Woodsman. And it's great to talk to Tim again. How you doing, my friend?
What's going on, Tony?
What's happening with you? So it's been a little while since we have talked to you. For people who maybe weren't listening last time you were on, kind of explain your background. I just called you the Thinking Woodsman. That was kind of your introduction to this show. And when you and I first met, yeah, that was your focus, the Thinking Woodsman podcast. And then you started working with the fine people at Drury Outdoors. So tell folks all the stuff that you're working on right now.
Yeah, it's kind of every little boy's dream to grow up and work in the hunting industry. I started a small. I was working in the nonprofit industry. I'd been doing that work for 16, 17 years, and during that time, fell back in love with bow hunting and got real serious about it, and realized that there are some pretty significant stereotypes out there against hunters. I had some coworkers who pretty typically liberal, progressive individuals that weren't familiar, weren't raised hunting, just didn't know a whole lot about it. So one of them literally said, "Tim, you hunt, but you seem smart." And right there and then I knew that as the hunting community, we needed to do more outreach-wise and just present a more winsome face to the hunting community. I also had someone just flabbergasted that I consumed what I killed in the field. Their concept of hunting was that if you shot something and killed it, you just left it there and went back home and called it a day. And I know zero hunters that do that. That's not part of the hunting experience. That's sheer killing. That's that's sadism. That's just bizarre. Hunters don't do that. So I started the Thinking Woodsman as a small outdoor media brand to present a more accurate view of the hunting community and hunters in general, and kind of outdoorsmen. I bike, I backpack, I run, I hunt, I fish, and you know, do a lot of wild game prep. I
model.
I'm a hand model. All those things. And more. So I started doing that, and I started meeting people in the outdoor industry. I met a guy who's my mentor and one of my best friends, Ray I, who's a legendary turkey hunter, and he opened up a lot of doors for me. And I just found that if you do good work and you're honest and genuine and you show up and you really try to do your best, doors open up. And God really blessed me, and I was able to meet Mark Drury, who is one of the co-owners of Drury Outdoors. Folks may have seen the VHS videos that Drury Outdoors has been producing since 1989. Him and brother Terry have been producing turkey and whitetail hunts for 30 years now, and started doing some freelance work for them. And then in 2018, they came to me and they're like, you know, we're about to launch this app called DeerCast, and it's going to be a home for all of our video content, and it's going to forecast deer movement, and we wanted to have a bunch of articles in there written by outdoor writers, and we think you'd be a good fit for being the editor-in-chief of that. And so I was able to transition from doing outdoor media part-time, and you have been kind of along for the ride, Tony, See that transition happen, where I was doing outdoor media and hunting part-time to where now it's my full-time gig. It's how I pay the bills, and while it's a lot of hard work, and it's not a typical 9-to-5. I'm pretty much on call 24/7, and if I sound like I'm in a good mood right now, it's only because I am, because I'm driving to my deer stand. We got a cold front coming through, and I'm going to sit with my PSE bow and try to stick either a doe or a nice buck. I'm excited, but I'll be filming that whole experience, and so it's an extra layer of work and complexity to film that hunt. But boy, it's one of those things where if you find something you love to do, you're not actually doing work. It's just an extension of you, and so that's kind of what I'm doing now. I get to oversee the DeerCast and film some stuff at Drury Outdoors. I co-host our podcast, the 100% Wild podcast that Matt Drury and I run together, and do some gear reviews and do some hunts for television and kind of whatever else pops up during the day that needs to be handled.
Yeah, very good. And about the DeerCast app, so if a person wants to know what the weather is, they look at the forecast. If a person wants to know where the deer are, they look at the DeerCast, right? I mean, that's kind of the reason that the name of the app is what it is. And there's a lot more to it. Like you said, there's a lot of video archives, and there's a lot more things that you can do on the app. But the really cool thing that you guys kind of are the only game in town, is at least as far as I know, that if people want to get in current information, hunters want to get current information about deer movements and where to go and what's working this year, and the success rates that other hunters are having, that sort of stuff. All that is provided on the DeerCast app, right?
Yeah, our team members, we've got about 50-some guys and ladies that hunt for us, and whenever they harvest an animal, they will take their video footage from the field, and they will upload it to DeerCast within minutes of the recovery. So not only are you getting to see the actual hit from the field before it's fully produced and on television the following year on one of our four television shows, you're also getting to hear from those hunters in real time, like what's working. Like right now, this cold front sweeping across the Midwest, so I anticipate a lot of our guys are going to be having success. And so you're getting kind of the entertainment value of seeing these things happen in real time, but you're also getting the education in real time of what tactics are working. Like I'm going to go set up in a little grove where I know there's some persimmon trees, and the persimmons are ripe right now. They're dropping, and those deer are looking to put on some calories for the winter, so they're going to be over those persimmons feeding around. Mm-hmm. And I that's kind of a piece of education people will get if they watch. Hopefully if I have a DeerCast Now kill shot video to share tonight, they'll be able to see that. But you mentioned that DeerCast is kind of the only place to get all that information. That's mostly true, but there are actually quite a few deer movement apps on the market right now. The problem is they're pretty much one-dimensional. Like, they'll typically just run off one factor, like the moon phase or the barometer, and that's about it. And they'll say, well, this is good for whitetails and for largemouth bass and for catfish and for squirrels. And mm-hmm. like, these animals are just too complex and too different to have a one-size-fits-all kind of movement predictor. Mark and Terry took their 70 years of deer in the field deer hunting experience and all their observations, and they hunt more than almost anyone out there, and they sat down with a computer programmer who also happened to be a pilot, so he understands weather and atmospheric conditions, and they laid out through these 13 different meteorological and lunar events and how they're all interrelated. And so DeerCast will take those things, pull in your local weather data, and then interrelate that with the time of the deer season it is based on your peak estrus date, and then it will generate a deer movement forecast for you. So it's the most advanced deer movement forecast out there, and there are others that are completely free, and ours is free. We also have paid tiers. You can do the $9.99 to the $19.99 per year models, and you get 5 and 10 days of the DeerCast. You can plan a little further out.
Yeah.
But if you go with the free model, you get 1 day of DeerCast, a couple days of weather, and you're good to go. So DeerCast continues to be free, but there are paid models for sure.
Good stuff. We got to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. We've got more Second Amendment Radio coming up next. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo in studio with Chad Ellis. One more segment, one more guest. We talked to Aaron Tarlow, of course, the owner of Southern Armory, in the first segment. A big thank you to Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors and the 100% Wild podcast and the DeerCast there offered by Drury Outdoors for joining us in that last segment. And if you missed any of that, especially that talk with Tim about hunting, don't forget you can always download our podcast on our website, 971talk.com, or better yet, the radio.com app, which is absolutely free. Go there, favorite the radio station, and then you have access to everything. You can stream the station 24/7, and you can download all the podcasts from all the shows here. And again, all of it is absolutely free. So if you missed that or you're big into the hunting season, we're going to have Tim on, I think, a bunch coming up in the next several weeks as we process through it's archery season right now. Next month will be rifle season for deer hunting, and Tim is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to that stuff, so we'll be talking to him a bunch. So make sure you're checking out that podcast, checking out the show to get all of that great information. So as I mentioned, those two guests in the first segment. Now segment number three, our friend Gabe Pfeiffer, aka St. John the Philosopher, from the St. John the Philosopher YouTube show, is in studio with us.
Yes.
Great to see you, buddy. How's it going?
Great to be here. It's going pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm excited about all the information I got to go back and listen to on the podcast about hunting and stuff.
There you go.
I kind of want to get into that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Gabe on his YouTube channel covers all different topics. I think the episode on Second Amendment rights that you made a few months ago is one of the best gun discussions that anybody could find on the internet. If you have I think that video is like 10-12 minutes long.
Yeah,
so it's not anything that, you know, that you have to sit down and you know, and spend an hour listening to, but you sort of represent each side. You kind of talk about, you know, where the pro-gun Second Amendment people are coming from, but also present the argument against it and kind of get into why the law was made the way it was.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And it's just really good. And no matter what side you're on, And I know, obviously, Gabe is very supportive of the Second Amendment.
Oh yeah,
but still, it's
I try to be fair.
It's good information, and it gives you a good argument.
Yeah,
like when I listened to that, you brought up some points in it that I thought, oh. Next time I'm having an argument, I can use that because that's perfect. So it's good. It's good education as well. So,
oh yeah, and you can always just kind of link it on Twitter when somebody's getting me. He's like, you know what? Just watch this.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
So I love for that. People that may not know, you know, so that's there. I recommend everybody go and check it out. But of course, many other videos there on the YouTube channel tell mm-hmm. people what you're all about and how people can find you.
All right. Well, I am a black conservative Christian rocket scientist. You know, it's a collection of things that that by popular opinion should be contradictory in many ways, but obviously they exist in me. So so maybe you might be wrong about that. So
walking contradiction.
I am a walking contradiction according to the world. But I think all of those things kind of work well together.
Yeah.
So from what I would think is a fairly unique perspective, I try to, you know, give commentary on things ranging from religion to culture and to politics. So I'll talk about anything from abortion to, you know, make a silly video based on a Moana song.
Right.
You know, so right. I run the gamut. I've got a commentary on The Last Jedi, you know, the last Star Wars movie or a Marvel movie, mm-hmm. you know, Endgame. You know, I talk about all of these things.
Yep.
So the videos are about 10 minutes. I go pretty in depth for a 10-minute video. It's kind of like what you were saying with the Second Amendment. I think I kind of start with the very basics of it and work all the way up to today within those 10 minutes. And I think it's pretty informative, and I try to be kind of entertaining too with, you know, a lot of pop culture drops. It's pretty much just a full expression of me that mm-hmm. you get in all those, and I think it's fun.
Yeah, and I couldn't recommend it enough. Check it out. Just type in St. John the Philosopher in the YouTube search bar.
Yep.
And Gabe's the only one.
Yep.
He'll be the first and one to pop up and check out that channel.
Yeah, hit the subscribe button and then hit the bell for notifications.
There you go. That's right. So I mentioned this. I talked a little bit with Aaron at the beginning of the show about this. I want to get your thoughts on it. So Joe Biden mm-hmm. rolled out his official policy on guns.
Does it involve a double barrel shotgun and going out on your porch and shooting both barrels into the air?
Yeah, right.
he literally said these
that's
things.
Exactly what he said. He said the best defense. He said the best defense. That was 6 years ago.
Yes.
He said the best home defense is to load your double barrel shotgun and shoot it in the air if somebody's trying to break in.
He said both barrels.
Yeah,
that's the thing that hit me. It was like, wait, so somebody's trying to break into my house.
He was right. When he said that, he was right. That is a great way to protect your house, to have a double barrel shotgun. But now he's got to go, like everything, he's got to flip-flop on all of it. So not going to
Joe.
Yeah, right. Not going to get into all the details, but you can look it up. I think it's on his website. He calls it the plan to end our gun violence epidemic.
Mm.
And
Joe's gonna do it.
One of the one of the thing in here that is the most sort of egregious and seemingly illegal policies that he wants to put into place is he wants to repeal this. So by putting this act into place, he would repeal the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, which is a 2005 law that was designed to shield gun makers from liability. Basically, now, if Joe gets his way, if I have a Glock
mm-hmm.
and I commit a crime with the Glock, not only am I liable for that crime, but now Glock is too, the manufacturer.
Right.
So,
of course.
Obviously, this brings up, if I intentionally run somebody over with my Chevy Silverado,
is Chevy liable? Yep.
If I hit somebody if I attack somebody with my Black & Decker drill, is Black & Decker liable? Because you can't do one unless you do them all, right?
Yeah, you would have to. I mean, in order for the law to be a fair representation of what we would expect laws to do, you know, for there to be fairness under the law, then yes, makers of any of everything would be liable for any crimes committed using that thing. Mm-hmm. So Twitter would be liable if I committed some sort of fraud using Twitter. If,
right.
You know, it,
right.
Or, you know, McDonald's would be liable for my obesity problem.
Yeah, you can't do, yeah, you can't put it all, you, I mean, literally, it doesn't work unless you make it across the board, and you're not going to make it across the board.
You can't.
Because you're not going to be able to hold Black and Decker liable if somebody, you know, shoots them with their nail gun. You know, it's ridiculous.
You know, and if we were to approach this from the standpoint of taking out, you know, perhaps the most dangerous weapons in society, dangerous being the ones that result in the most deaths, we would, you know, before we get to guns, we'd have to deal with hammers and baseball bats and fists.
Yeah.
And, you know, because all of these things have more deaths, you know, associated with them than, you know, let's say an AR-15.
Right, right. Unless you get your fists licensed.
Licensed as deadly weapons.
Which Chad, actually, it's only his right fist.
Yeah.
Chad has registered his right hand. It is an officially recognized.
Can I see
weapon.
That? Can I see that card? Yeah. Can I see the card? It's right behind his license.
So I mentioned the podcast a minute ago. We got a little bit deeper into Biden's plan in the first segment with Aaron. So if you want to hear more details and you missed it, go and download that podcast. But I wanted to bring it up with Gabe to illustrate this second point, and that is we've seen Beto O'Rourke, we've seen Buttigieg, and we've seen others roll out. I think Elizabeth Warren's is out there. There are all these Democratic candidates' plans that they intend to enact if they are elected president. How damaging? How much is this group of presidential candidates on the Democratic side distancing themselves from the average American by seemingly going so extreme with this? Or am I wrong? Are they not distancing themselves and they're actually moving with the majority of is the country evolving that way?
Now, from what I've seen,
I hope not,
I've seen some polls and they're not too old, like 2015, 2016, that the country has been moving towards a pro-2A stance for decades now.
Yeah.
And, you know, if gun sales are any indication, especially in, you know, in those time periods where people are fearing these new and oppressive gun laws, if those are any indication of public sentiment, then it's definitely in the pro-2A category. So I think
they are
separating themselves from, and I don't know. I think it might
They're not dumb people. They're smart, and they have a lot of smart campaign managers.
But
that
are they though?
Should know how to? Well, maybe not. You're right. Like, but maybe they are. But I can't imagine. Like,
they're also socialists. So let's think about this.
But they still want to win, don't they?
I would think so. But the thing is, There are certain aspects of socialist policy that obviously have wide public support. You know, when you say you're going to give somebody something for free
everything,
you know, free everything, then you're going to gain a lot of support from unthinking people who think free actually means free when it's said by the government. I think the whole anti-gun stance sits squarely in that category of thought for those who are on the far left, who I think most of the candidates are trying to appeal to right now.
And I understand your point of that maybe this is just
primary talk. Yeah,
because everybody knows that in a primary, you sort of run to the more extreme. And Republicans do it too.
Yep,
you run to the more extreme edge to try to get the whole party behind you, and then when the general election starts, you kind of pull back toward the middle to try to, cast a wider net.
Right.
However, which I get that,
mm-hmm.
but they're putting these are policies that they're putting on their websites. They can't take them off.
Yeah, you can't delete the internet.
You can come back. You can pull back towards the middle to a certain extent. But when you're putting policy out there on your website and here's my plan,
yeah, it's one thing
you
to
can't
walk back,
undo that.
It's one thing to walk back rhetoric and another to walk back a policy statement, right?
Right.
So they're staking their claim there. They're planting their flag on that hill, and they're choosing that place to die. And I think that that's where a lot of these campaigns are going to die, because there are a lot of pro 2A Democrats.
Yeah,
you know, you're not going to find a very many rural union member
right.
Democrats out there who are going to say, oh yeah, so you know, go ahead and take my guns.
Yep, a couple minutes to go here. I want to get actually both your thoughts on this, Chad. I'd love for you to chime in here as well. One of the big stories of the week was the sentencing of the Dallas police officer, the female Dallas police mm-hmm. officer who went into the wrong apartment mm-hmm. and killed a man who was sitting on his own couch eating right. a bowl of ice cream.
Yeah.
And she was convicted of murder.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of people who thought maybe that she wouldn't be convicted of murder, that mm-hmm. she would instead get like a manslaughter charge or whatever, because it wasn't, she thought she was in her own house. She thought she right. found
it wasn't premeditated.
It wasn't premeditated. It wasn't, you know, so there, yeah, right. But, of course, when this all happened, when this first went down, it was reported in the media by many as another example of a white cop killing an innocent, unarmed black man.
Right.
And from the very beginning, I said, let it play out. If she gets off,
right. we know what's
protest
up.
All you want, because right. I will line up with you.
Oh, yeah.
But she was convicted of murder
right.
this week, and I think that's exactly what should have happened to her.
Mm-hmm. Convicted
she
of something.
Was, yeah, I agree.
I think she should be convicted of murder.
Yeah.
So that's my thought.
Depends on how the statute's written, but I'm there with you.
So that's my question. Right or wrong? Was justice served in this case?
Oh yeah, I mean she needed to be convicted of killing that man, because you know obviously it was wrong, whether or not it was a mistake or
right. He's eating ice cream. Yeah, he's on a couch.
If you're in your own house, right?
It's that he was like in his boxers because you're at home alone eating ice cream on your. So even if you come in,
like what state was she in?
Texas?
Mental state.
Yeah.
Like to just. Like, okay, I guess the door was unlocked.
Yeah.
Fine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Door was unlocked.
I get that. But, okay, I'm going in my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's things that I notice that are mine.
Like the decorations.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, like, yeah. That's not my TV.
Yeah, like, okay.
Like, this is weird.
I don't even have ice cream right now. Like, what?
Right.
What convinced her, like, okay, my first thought is draw.
Yeah.
Was it because, it's a black guy in my house?
Yeah.
Shoot first, ask questions later?
She said she was exhausted. She said that she had worked a 15-hour shift.
Yeah.
Apparently, she parked on the wrong floor. And so, you know, this building, wherever, you know, you park on your level and then you walk in and you just kind of, it's kind of automatic. Like, you know that you walk in the door and you turn left at the first hall and my apartment's the third one on the right. So she parked on the wrong level.
Right.
By mistake.
So she was already irritable.
In, yeah, just walked
in. 15-hour
So there's all kinds of things saying that maybe she was distracted by some conversation she was having. She says she was exhausted from a long shift and that she had accidentally parked on the wrong level and then walked in the building and then just walked to the apartment that is hers, but she was on the wrong floor, opened the door, which was unlocked, saw the man, thought it was a burglary in action, you know, taking place, and ends up
eating ice cream.
Yeah,
right.
Watching TV.
Eating ice cream,
and that's the thing, and that's probably why they went with the murder as opposed to manslaughter.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, you know, even if this was your house, even if this was, you know, then it was drawing your
weapon. What did you say?
But this,
and what did they say back? You know,
I think. What do you think, Jay? I think she got exactly what she should get. She's a murderer.
Yeah,
and she was convicted of murder.
Yeah.
I mean, so
I agree.
So justice was served in this case.
Now the sentence
maybe
was probably
hold the protest.
The sentence
until,
was probably a little light. I think that's what
I agree with you.
I think that's what a lot of people are upset about.
We didn't even get to that part yet.
10 years.
10 years
doesn't seem.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of.
She could have been given anywhere between 5 and 99 years.
Right. Obviously, because it's a murder conviction.
And, and she was convicted, and the sentencing was 10 years. And I think she's only 31.
Right.
I'm 41.
Right. So
she'll be out when she's my age.
Right.
And probably before that, you know, probably more like 7 or 8 years.
I mean, it's still damaging to her life. She won't
have
a job
over.
Anymore.
And she's a convicted murderer.
Yeah.
She's not
because she murdered
family.
Somebody.
She's not going to be a cop anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
I do. But, I mean, I don't know. I think
that also brings the question of, okay, are these cops working too long?
Right.
Like, 15-hour shift is not normal.
And are they getting the right training?
Exactly.
Because there should be some kind of training that kicks in.
Yes.
Like you just mentioned, Chad. If a guy is on his couch, sitting on a couch in his boxers eating ice cream, don't you analyze? Isn't there some kind of training that should kick in that should force you sort of automatically to analyze what's going on?
Right.
Realize,
I mean, what are they teaching at the academy?
Yeah. Realize that you're in the wrong. Realize, you know, like, this is not my apartment. You know, look around and realize I'm not in the right place. This doesn't look like a you know, there's not the evidence of a burglary being committed right here because this is a man eating ice cream on the couch. So, like, training, like you just said, overworked, training, all those things. And I honestly believe that I believe her story. I think that she did go, I think she did think she was going into her apartment.
And she was somewhat out of her mind because of his nausea or whatever.
Well, I don't know. Or she just panicked, which is bad news.
Yeah.
And just because I believe you doesn't mean you didn't kill a man.
Yeah, exactly. So you still killed a man.
You still killed a man. So you got to do your crime. You got to pay, you know, you got to do the time. So
definitely.
Don't do the crime if you can't do the time.
That's exactly right. All right, we got to wrap it up. Thanks for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio. Thanks to Aaron Tarr.
Those things kind of work well together.
Yeah.
So from what I would think is a fairly unique perspective, I try to, you know, give commentary on things ranging from religion to culture and to politics. So I'll talk about anything from abortion to, you know, make a silly video based on a Moana song.
Right.
You know, so I run the gamut. I've got a commentary on The Last Jedi, you know, the last Star Wars movie or a Marvel movie, you know, Endgame. You know, I talk about all of these things.
Yep.
The videos are about 10 minutes. I go pretty in depth for a 10 minute video. It's kind of like what you were saying with the Second Amendment. I think I kind of start with the very basics of it and work all the way up to today within those 10 minutes. And I think it's pretty informative, and I try to be kind of entertaining too with, you know, a lot of pop culture drops. It's pretty much just a full expression of me that you get in all those, and I think it's fun.
Yeah, and I couldn't recommend it enough. Check it out. Just type in St. John the Philosopher in the YouTube search bar.
Yep.
And Gabe's the only one.
Yep.
He'll be the first and one to pop up and check out that channel.
Yeah, hit the subscribe button and then hit the bell for notifications.
There you go. That's right. So I mentioned this. I talked a little bit with Aaron at the beginning of the show about this. I want to get your thoughts on it. So Joe Biden rolled out his official policy on guns.
Does it involve a double barrel shotgun and going out on your porch and shooting both barrels into the air?
Yeah, right.
he literally said these
things.
That's
exactly what he said. He said the best defense. He said the best defense. That was like 6 years ago.
Yes.
He said the best home defense is to load your double barrel shotgun and shoot it in the air if somebody's trying to break in.
He said both barrels.
Yeah,
that's the thing that hit me. It was like, wait, so somebody's trying to break into my house.
He was right. When he said that, he was right. That is a great way to protect your house, to have a double barrel shotgun. But now he's got to go, like everything, he's got to flip-flop on all of it. So not going to get into all the details, but you can look it up. I think it's on his website. He calls it the plan to end our gun violence epidemic.
Mm.
And
Joe's going to do it.
One of the one of the thing in here that is the most sort of egregious and seemingly illegal policies that he wants to put into place is he wants to repeal this. So by putting this act into place, he would repeal the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act, which is a 2005 law that was designed to shield gun makers from liability. Basically, now, if Joe gets his way, if I have a Glock and I commit a crime with the Glock, not only am I liable for that crime, but now Glock is too, the manufacturer.
Right.
So,
of course.
Obviously, this brings up, if I run somebody, if I intentionally run somebody over with my Chevy Silverado,
Chevy's liable? Yep.
If I hit somebody with, if I attack somebody with my Black & Decker drill, is Black & Decker liable? Because you can't do one unless you do them all, right?
Yeah, you would have to. I mean, in order for the law to be a fair representation of what we would expect laws to do, you know, for there to be fairness under the law, then yes, makers of any of everything would be liable for any crimes committed using that thing. Mm-hmm. So Twitter would be liable if I committed some sort of fraud using Twitter. McDonald's would be liable for my obesity problem.
It doesn't work unless you make it across the board. And you're not going to make it across the board.
You can't.
Because you're not going to be able to hold Black & Decker liable if somebody, you know, shoots them with their nail gun. You know, it's ridiculous.
You know, and if we were to approach this from the standpoint of taking out, you know, perhaps the most dangerous weapons in society, dangerous being the ones that result in the most deaths, we would, you know, before we get to guns, we'd have to deal with hammers and baseball bats and fists.
Yeah.
And, you know, because all of these things have more deaths, associated with them than, you know, let's say an AR-15.
Right, right. Unless you get your fists licensed.
Licensed as deadly weapons.
Which Chad, actually, it's only his right fist.
Yeah.
Chad has registered his right hand. It is an officially recognized.
Can I see that card? Yeah. Can I see that? it's right behind his license.
So I mentioned the podcast a minute ago. We got a little bit deeper into Biden's plan in the first segment with Aaron. So if you want to hear more details and you missed it, go and download that podcast. But I wanted to bring it up with Gabe to illustrate this second point, and that is we've seen Beto O'Rourke, we've seen Buttigieg, and we've seen others roll out. I think Elizabeth Warren's is out there. There are all these Democratic candidates' plans that they intend to enact if they are elected president. How damaging, how much is this group of presidential candidates on the Democratic side distancing themselves from the average American by seemingly going so extreme with this? Or am I wrong? Are they not distancing themselves and they're actually moving with the majority of is the country evolving that way?
Now, from what I've seen, I've seen some polls and they're not too old. I like 2015, 2016, that the country has been moving towards a pro-2A stance for decades now.
Yeah.
And, you know, if gun sales are any indication, especially in, you know, in those time periods where people are fearing these new and oppressive gun laws, if those are any indication of public sentiment, then it's definitely in the pro-2A category. So I think they are separating themselves from, and I don't know. I think it might have something to do with the primary season. They're not dumb people.
They're smart, and they have a lot of smart campaign managers.
But are they, though?
Should know how to. Well, maybe not. You're right. Like, but maybe they are. But I can't imagine. Like,
they're also socialists. So let's think about this.
But they still want to win, don't they?
I would think so. But the thing is, There are certain aspects of socialist policy that obviously have wide public support. You know, when you say you're going to give somebody something for free
everything,
free everything, then you're going to gain a lot of support from unthinking people who think free actually means free when it's said by the government. I think the whole anti-gun stance sits squarely in that category of thought for those who are on the far left, who I think most of the candidates are trying to appeal to right now.
And I understand your point of that maybe this is just
primary talk. Yeah,
because everybody knows that in a primary, you sort of run to the more extreme. And Republicans do it too.
Yep,
you run to the more extreme edge to try to get the whole party behind you, and then when the general election starts, you kind of pull back toward the middle to try to, cast a wider net.
Right.
However, which I get that,
mm-hmm.
but they're putting these are policies that they're putting on their websites. They can't take them off.
you can't delete the internet.
You can come back. You can pull back towards the middle to a certain extent, But when you've got, when you're putting policy out there on your website, and here's my plan.
Yeah, it's one thing to walk back.
You can't undo that.
It's one thing to walk back rhetoric, and another to walk back a policy statement. Right.
Right.
So yeah. So they're staking their claim there. They're planting their flag on that hill, and they're choosing that place to die. And I think that that's where a lot of these campaigns are going to die, because there are a lot of pro 2A Democrats.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to find a very many rural union member
right.
Democrats out there who are going to say, oh yeah, so you know, go ahead and take my guns.
Yep, a couple minutes to go here. I want to get actually both your thoughts on this, Chad. I'd love for you to chime in here as well. One of the big stories of the week was the sentencing of the Dallas police officer, the female Dallas police mm-hmm. officer who went into the wrong apartment mm-hmm. and killed a man who was sitting on his own couch eating right. a bowl of ice cream.
Yeah.
And she was convicted of murder.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of people who thought maybe that she wouldn't be convicted of murder, that mm-hmm. she would instead get like a manslaughter charge or whatever, because it wasn't, she thought she was in her own house. She thought she right. found
wasn't premeditated.
It wasn't premeditated. Right. But of course, when this all happened, when this first went down, it was reported in the media by many as another example of a white cop killing an innocent, unarmed black man.
Right.
And from the very beginning, I said, let it play out. If she gets off,
right. we know what's
protest
up.
All you want, because right. I will line up with you.
Oh, yeah.
But she was convicted of murder right. this week, and I think that's exactly what should have happened to her. Mm-hmm.
Convicted
she
of something.
Was, yeah, I agree.
I think she should be convicted of murder.
Yeah.
So that's my
depends
thoughts.
On how the statute's written. But I'm there with you.
So that's my question. Right or wrong? Was justice served in this case?
Oh yeah. I mean,
opinion?
she needed to be convicted of killing that man, because you know obviously it was wrong. Whether or not it was a mistake or
right. He's eating ice cream. Yeah, he's on a couch.
If you're in your own house, right?
It's reports are that he was like in his boxers because you're at home alone eating ice cream on your. So even if you come in,
like what state was she in? Was
Texas?
She, no.
Mental state. Yeah.
Like to just. Like, okay, I guess the door was unlocked.
Yeah.
Fine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Door was unlocked.
I get that. But, okay, I'm going in my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's things that I notice that are mine.
Like the decorations.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
yeah. That's not my TV.
Yeah, like, okay.
Like, this is weird.
I don't even have ice cream right now. Like, what?
Right.
What convinced her, like, okay, my first thought is draw.
Yeah.
Was it because, it's a black guy in my house?
Yeah.
Shoot first, ask questions later?
She said she was exhausted. She said that she had worked a 15-hour shift.
Yeah.
Apparently, she parked on the wrong floor. And so, this building, wherever, right. You park on your level and then you walk in and you just kind of, it's kind of automatic. Like, you know that you walk in the door and you turn left at the first hall and my apartment's the third one on the right. So she parked on the wrong level.
Right.
By mistake.
So she was already irritable.
Yeah,
15-hour
So there's all kinds of things saying that maybe she was distracted by some conversation she was having. She says she was exhausted from a long shift and that she had accidentally parked on the wrong level and then walked in the building and then just walked to the apartment that is hers, but she was on the wrong floor, opened the door, which was unlocked, saw the man, thought it was a burglary and action, taking place, and ends up
eating ice cream.
Yeah,
right.
Watching TV.
Eating ice cream, and
that's the thing, and that's probably why they went with the murder as opposed to manslaughter.
Right. Yeah.
It's like even if this was your house, even if this was then it was drawing your
like,
weapon.
What did you say?
But this,
and what did they say back?
What do you think, Jay? I think she got exactly what she should get. She's a murderer.
Yeah,
and she was convicted of murder.
Yeah.
I mean, so
I agree.
So justice was served in this case.
Now the sentence
maybe
was probably
hold the protest.
The sentence
until,
was probably a little light. I think that's what
I agree with you.
I think that's what a lot of people are upset about.
We didn't even get to that part. Yeah,
10 years.
10 years
doesn't seem.
Yeah,
yeah. That's kind of
she
on.
Could have been given anywhere between 5 and 99
right,
years.
Obviously, because it's a murder conviction.
And, and she was convicted, and the sentencing was 10 years. And I think she's only 31. Right. I'm 41.
Right. So,
she'll be out when she's my age.
Right.
And probably before that, you know, probably more like 7 or 8 years.
I mean, it's still damaging to her life. She won't have a job over anymore.
And she's a convicted murderer.
Yeah.
She's not
because she murdered somebody.
She's not going to be a cop anymore.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. I think that also
brings the question of, okay, are these cops working too long?
Right.
Like, 15-hour shift is not normal.
And are they getting the right training?
Exactly.
Because there should be some kind of training that kicks in.
Yes.
Like you just mentioned, Chad, if a guy is on his couch, sitting on a couch in his boxers eating ice cream, don't you analyze, isn't there some kind of training that should kick in that should force you sort of automatically to analyze what's going on?
Right.
Realize,
I mean, what are they teaching at the academy?
Yeah, realize that you're in the wrong. Realize, you know, like, this is not my apartment. You know, look around and realize I'm not in the right place. This doesn't look like a burglar. You know, there's not the evidence of a burglary being committed right here because this is a man eating ice cream on the couch. So, like, training, like you just said, overworked, training, all those things. And I honestly believe that she, I believe her story. I think that she did go, I think she did think she was going into her apartment.
And she was somewhat out of her mind because of exhaustion or whatever.
Well, I don't know. Or she just panicked, which is bad news.
Yeah.
And just because I believe you doesn't mean you didn't kill a man.
Yeah, exactly. So you still killed a man.
You still killed a man. So you got to do crime. You got to pay, you know, you got to do the time. So
definitely
don't do the crime if you can't do the time.
That's exactly right. All right. We got to wrap it up. Thanks for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio. Thanks to Aaron Tarlow and Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors. And of course, Gabe Pfeiffer, a.k.a. St. John the Philosopher from the St. John the Philosopher YouTube channel. Go and check it out. We will be back with you. Check out the podcast if you missed any of today's show. And we'll be back with you here next Saturday at 3 o'clk on 97.1 FM Talk. Enjoy your weekend.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.